We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, BronxPinstripes.com proudly brings to you the most exciting Yankees podcast in the world, George's Box.
Welcome back to George's Box. I'm JJ.
I'm Nick.
And I mean, this is, it's the eclipse of all just great things. The Yankees are 4-0. It's WrestleMania week, and Shamrock Shakes are gone for another year. All the best things for our listeners. It's a good day to be a Yankee fan.
I got my money's worth on the Shamrock Shakes, and we got our money's worth on Juan Soto. There's a new sheriff in town.
Dude, honestly, let's just cut Judge.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, I was thinking about it, and like, you know, they showed, because in the Friday night game, they showed, oh, Judge has a career 190 average against Houston. And I'm like, oh, no wonder we always get our asses kicked by them in the playoffs, because Judge doesn't show up. And it's like, you know, the Judge Yankees were scared of Minute Maid Park. They, you know, a bad call would get called and Judge slumps back to the dugout. Like, those were the Judge Yankees. The Soto Yankees are not scared of Minute Maid Park. They're not scared of the Astros. And Juan Soto, if a ball gets called at his ankles or at his neck, he turns around and he lets the ump know. He doesn't, slink back to the dugout, spitting his gum out like Judge. I love this new vibe. I love him screaming into the dugout, screaming at our team, screaming at the other team. Like, the guy just loves screaming.
He was just officially named American League Player of the Week, just beating out Oswaldo Cabrera, shockingly.
We both, we were both big fans of him coming in here. Love being wrong about that. He looked like, 2002 Barry Bonds out there this weekend.
We were so wrong. I mean, my wife has asked me numerous times, don't you feel like foolish at all? And I'm like, well, what do you mean? I mean, we're going into Houston. She was like, you said the season was over a month ago when Cole got hurt. And now you're 4-0 and everything's all right. And I was like, yeah, that's how this works.
That's what it's like being a baseball fan. And I was thinking about like taking a look at this regular season series and thinking about other big regular season series. This was the biggest regular season series, I think, since, I don't know if you remember, in 2009, the Yankees started 0-8 against the Red Sox. And then there was a four-game series in August. The Yankees swept that and basically rode that all the way to a title. The other one I was thinking about was 2006 when they had the five-game Boston Massacre sweep in Fenway. Other than those two, I think this is the biggest, considering the opponent, considering the stakes, considering it being the first series, and just slaying that dragon. That's how big it felt to me.
I mean, I think the other ones were bigger because it's Boston. It's the division we're in, mm-hmm. the season. This one is big, but like, it's still weird because, one, we didn't have to face Verlander.
They didn't have to face Cole. And that cancels out.
And two, we just didn't know what to expect. Like, because this team, we didn't have like a good spring training record. I think we were below 500. So it's not like we were like going into this like, oh, and especially you see Nestor Cortez's first inning. This season ended four times for me on Thursday.
Thursday at 5:15 when it was 4-0, I was thinking, how are we going to salvage one of these four games? I was like, maybe they'll win the Stroman game on Saturday night. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. But like, just a scrappy bunch of guys picking themselves up by their bootstraps and just figuring it out. Good for them.
Stunning. And again, they did this with really Rizzo and Glaber doing nothing. Like, neither of those two really did anything, and they still swept them. They didn't have Cole. Like, they, it's not even like they were really firing on all cylinders. It was really just Soto and Cabrera and solid starting pitching, great bullpen, and great relief. But this wasn't like everybody was – I mean, look at Rizzo and Glaber's numbers from the weekend. And Judge, they, none of those guys did anything, and they still swept them.
Yeah, I mean, Rizzo, I mean, he's a double. He's got an RBI, but no, they're seeing a lot of pitches. That's the thing. Like, we're seeing on average 4.29 pitches per at bat, which is like third in the league, first in the AL. And our bottom of the order guys are like, I think you've got Soto. I think Volpe and Wells are in like the top 10 of seeing the most pitches, which is, like, great, because we're old enough to preach the Joe Torre school, yes, of seeing a lot of pitches, making sure you see everything a guy's got. And unless Kenny Rogers is out there, that's going to work out. There was some times when Kenny Rogers would just go out there and dice us up, it felt like. And as you see those pitches, you find more opportunities, you get into the bullpen, and you win games that way.
And the wild part is that the bullpen that they got into is probably the best bullpen in baseball. You got Abreu, Montero, Hader, Presley. I mean, these are all stud relievers, and they were knocking them all around. They trailed in all four of these games, and they won all of them.
Yeah, they've used – the Astros had to use Hader three times and have zero wins.
That's awesome. I mean, that's awesome. Stunning. I'm stunned. I'm just stunned. Are you?
No, I am. I had no, listen, we were like, hey, if we could split this series, that would be great going into it. And then after we got the first two, we were like, well, it's at least got to be three, because Stroman's going to go get us a win. And then you're just like, all right, well, we're down. Maybe it's not going to happen. But like, the difference with this team, and it's early, it's too early to be like, this is a special group of guys, because like, the wheels could fall off fucking tomorrow.
Yeah, they could get swept in April Arizona.
First.
Yeah.
It's April 1st. But it was weird to be in Houston, be down by one in the sixth inning, and not be like, well, I guess I could take a nap now, because this is fucking done.
There was no gloom and doom. It really started, and it was the first run they scored of the season when they were down 4-0 in game one and Soto's up with the bases loaded, nobody out. Any other year, it's Sanchez is striking out. Judge is popping up. Luke Voit is flying out. Like, they're not getting that run in. And yeah. Soto just smashes a single to right field, and you're like, oh, we're allowed to get hits with runners on in the stadium? Like, I didn't even know that was allowed. It's changed everything.
Yeah, it's the opposite of – I remember in – 2019, when we were in the ALCS, just wondering, like, if you're an Astros fan, do you know there's no chance that Gary Sanchez is going to get a hit here? Because, like, I'm out here in the cold knowing it's not going to happen. Do you know it's not going to happen? And it's just like, wow, wait, this might happen. These guys might figure out a way to, like, at least stay competitive. And it starts with that, you know, Soto single, and then it carries right through the ninth inning of Soto, who they flash on the screen every game. You don't run on Verdugo. You don't run on Judge. You could probably run on Soto. And then he throws the guy out at the plate.
That was, I mean, I was jumping up and down. The adrenaline rush on that play alone, because A, you knew Kyle Tucker was getting a hit. Like, Holmes clearly didn't have it. They were squaring him up. Kyle Tucker's a great hitter, lefty on righty. He smashes a single to your right, and you're like, it's a tie game. And he picked it cleanly, made a perfect throw, and Trevino made a hell of a tag. That's something nobody really talked about. That was a great play.
Everything had to be perfect once that ball went through, because, like, it's on the ground, so it's not going, you know, It's not like a line drive that hops in front of him. He could come up, you know, hopping. Yeah. So it's just, you know, it just becomes like, fuck, this is going to tie. All right. Maybe we are still that same team, but no, Soto does it. Soto's fired up, sweating through these fucking jerseys.
Oh, the jersey, the Rodon on, was it Friday night? That was disgusting. That was, I mean, he had to change. He changed in like the second inning.
It's crazy.
For me, it was even more so than the play, like Soto screaming at Judge. That was like, I was almost like, wake the fuck up, guys. Like, I'm here now. It's like when you're watching one of those movies, it's like a high school movie and, you know, the quarterback transfers in and he's like, all right, pussies, we're going to do it my way now. Like, that's how it felt to me. Like, this is my clubhouse now. I don't think I'm exaggerating either.
It felt a little bit like everyone on that team is the same way we are, where it's like, well, we got this Soto year. You don't want to waste a Soto year. You know, and obviously seeing Soto out there. Now, I haven't watched a lot of Juan Soto. This may shock everyone. I didn't used to catch a lot of Nationals games. And I don't think I've ever seen the Padres play. If I wasn't in the stadium,
right?
Or it was the World Series, right? Like, not since Greg Vaughn was on that team have I watched the Padres play. And was he having that much fun? Like, I think, like, yeah, sure, there's probably, you know, a little fun going on when he first got out to San Diego, but he seems like he's enjoying himself and he hasn't even gotten a roll call yet.
Yeah, he hasn't even come home. Yeah, no, he seems very comfortable again from day one. And we've seen so many stars, Jack, come here, and Stanton the first year was uncomfortable. A-Rod the first year was uncomfortable. I mean, how many, you know, hired guns have we brought in where they just don't click right away? It was like from the first pitch, he was just comfortable.
It's kind of it's obviously different, but it is a little bit like what I've been wanting for years is like get somebody on a prove it deal. Get somebody who's got something, who doesn't have time to get caught up in the bright lights of New York. And that's where Soto is. Obviously, he's not proving anything because he's going to get the monster contract. But, you know, to see someone come in with that kind of like intensity and like, let's just fucking get after it. Like, what's the point of doing all this if we're not going to try to win? And I hate to say it. It feels dirty to say. I really like Verdugo.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, man. Now that he's on our side, and especially considering what we had in left field, you know, the past few years, whether that's a concussed Clint Frazier, whether that's Brett Gardner, the corpse of Brett Gardner, whether that's Franchi or Bowers and your boy IKF, like having a real plus defender and a plus bat in left field every night is going to be fucking fantastic.
It is funny seeing him play great, and in the interview, when he's got that big fucking chain on it, and you know Steinbrenner's rolling over in his grave. You know, Steinbrenner was just like, this guy could hit 400 and he'd cause problems with it.
Yeah, but dude, making even those plays where he was just missing on those diving plays, he kept hustling. You know, he had some good at bats too. He's just getting average play in left field is something that they haven't had in maybe 5 years.
Yeah, it's weird to see someone try to make a diving or like sliding play in the outfield, and if they don't catch it in the air, they don't just sit there while the ball rolls to the warning track. I was like, wait, what do you do? You get up and get the ball back into the infield. You could just you could catch it after you miss it. You could just like get that off the ground. That's crazy.
The attitude change. I mean, to go from the guys like Hicks and Donaldson, like the guys that are moping around to guys like Soto and Verdugo. And I was thinking about, I don't know if you remember last year, there was a game that they lost and Harrison Bader had some quote of like, well, I still think we gained some momentum because of the way that we fought. And it's like this year with Juan Soto in that locker room, nobody's going to be saying any of that participation trophy bullshit. It just feels so much different.
It feels a lot better. It's just like, forget being 4-0. I don't resent them, which right. is nice.
I'm not hating myself.
I'm not angry at them because I'm really just angry at myself for watching these games. And I know your wife's Jewish. You're half Jewish. Do you guys do Easter?
Mm-hmm.
No one at my Easter was asking me, hey, how are the Yankees doing? No one cared. No one had a question for me about that one. While the Philly fucking Bryce Harper's flipping over railings, nobody wants to ask me how the Yankees are doing.
it makes everything better. I mean, so Friday night, you know, they won, and my kid was basically screaming from like 10 to 3. I slept for like 3 hours and I woke up Saturday morning. I was like, you know what? I don't even care. We're 2-0. I'm in such a good mood. It makes everything in life better when they win. It just does.
And like to a certain extent, you get through. It's like, I'm excited to see what Heal has to do. Now, obviously, we're on the West Coast. I'm not going to be awake. But like in theory, I'm excited to see what he does.
No, I'm excited to see him go on Monday night. And again, it's just the team is so different. Everything feels fresh. Everything feels exciting. The other thing that I love is so like Rizzo gets drilled on the hand or whatever on Thursday. He's in the lineup on Friday. Torres gets drilled on the thumb on Friday night to the point that he has to exit the game and he's in the lineup on Saturday. They didn't do any bullshit rest days or he needs a day. It just feels like they finally listened to all of the shit we've been bitching about for 6 years. Maybe Soto just came in and said like, we're not going to do it this way anymore. But that was notable to me that they didn't do any load management.
Yeah. I think it's just like, you know, Boone's, wham numbers are through the roof. Wins above monkey is just a monkey could have done a worse job than Aaron Boone. We're not winning in spite of Aaron Boone. He didn't make any obvious like fucked up decisions. And yeah, I think all of us were surprised every day because even the Sunday game, we had the late switch because Volpe's got his tum-tum hurts.
Yeah, yeah.
He had too much chicken parm for breakfast for Easter. The Lord has risen. And, you know, I expected. I was like, yeah, I mean, Birdie's obviously going to play on Saturday because Cabrera's playing well. So obviously he's going to have to sit.
That's
and
another
he didn't
one.
Do it. And I think it's tough, you know, if you are a, you know, if you're a manager to go in and say, hey, I'm going to take you out of the lineup, Juan Soto. He's never going to come out of the lineup, right? And I think for a while you could take Judge out of the lineup because you could be like, well, you know, big body, da da da. He was a young guy, but now he's a veteran getting all his money. It's tough to take these guys out of the lineup and just being comfortable with saying, Stanton, you're sitting.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And especially like when Soto, whatever, twisted his ankle on Friday and they're in the locker room after and Meredith and is asking him questions and he's like, I'm playing tomorrow. No other yet. I mean, if that was last year, Stanton, Judge, like, we'll see with Booney. We'll talk to the trainer. Soto's like, no, I'm playing. And that's it.
Yeah. And it's I think we all had a little bit of a like, oh, what the fuck's going on when the trainers were the checkout? Is it cramping? Are we dealing with fucking cramping already? Is it the jerseys? Get rid of the jerseys.
I was definitely, everybody was panicking. It's game two, fucking third inning. Of course you're going to be nervous, but it clearly a twisted ankle didn't affect him because he hit fucking 600 for the series. So I guess he's fine.
Dude. And again, he like had that, he had that home run that he hit where he just like, it felt like he just like poked it down the right field line. And there's just something about him. I said it a couple weeks ago. He makes hitting look so easy. I feel like I could do it. Like, it's just like, he's so cool, calm, collected, such a great eye. Like, again, generational talent. Well, and give him whatever he wants. He wants 12 years. Give him 12 years. Are years 9 through 12 going to be dog shit? Maybe not. Like, honestly, for the first time, maybe not.
And like, body, it's not like Judge where he's 6'7 and has all these injuries. I mean, he's normal sized and he's healthy. And I also love the way that he doesn't just accept, like, you know, Judge, how many times have we seen Judge get hosed on balls below the knee or at the calf and he just kind of slinks back to the dugout? Like, Soto doesn't take that shit. Like, if you screw him over, he's going to let you know. And we desperately needed some of that fuck you attitude. Like, no more being the nice guys and slinking back to the dugout. That has been so refreshing to see.
Yeah, it's just like, and especially, you know, you're not going to let that happen in game three of the season. You can't throw off your entire series, which is going to throw off your series, and because the first series, throw off your season. It's, you know, one of those things, I don't know, you see like the quotes, like there's X amount of minute, you know, would you let, if you had a dollar and someone took 2 cents, would it ruin your life? No. Why are you going to let somebody who ruins 5 minutes of your day ruin your whole day?
Right.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The best way to learn a language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way. And that's with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts and help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations, and their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching, so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription at babbel.com/bluewire. That's 60% off at babbel.com/bluewire, spelled BABBEL.com/bluewire. Rules and restrictions apply.
I want to talk a little bit about the pitching. I mean, Nestor, I don't think we need to spend a lot of time on. That's just how he's going to be. He's going to keep you in most games. He's not going to throw 7 shutout every night. What did you think of Rodon? Because there's a lot of mixed. There's some people that, well, he only allowed 1 run, and then there are other people that, like, he only went 4 innings. So I guess, where did you kind of fall on his start?
I mean, first 2 times through the order, like, my expectations for him are so low that it's like, if you give me 4 innings of 1-run ball, like, I'll take it at this point. It's not what I want. Like, for what we're paying him or what he was supposed to be, if he, let's say this is last year, and yeah, he's not injured at the beginning of the season, and he comes out and does this, I'm like, what the fuck did we buy? But, you know, he set expectations low. It's like when you're in school and you have to submit, like, a first draft of a paper, and you just make it, like, as if you can't even fucking read. So then you show so much improvement by the final that they're just like, damn, that's a B effort.
He really worked.
Yeah, he really worked to get better over the course of the semester. So, like, I'll take it. Listen, we won the game. The bullpen has been, you know, they're working. It's tough to have 7 straight,
yeah,
right, you know, to start the season. You know, Heal, we're not expecting to get 7 innings out of. But, you know, Stroh gave a little bit of a break there.
Yeah.
And to a certain extent, I mean, are we going to go 7-0 to start the season? I mean, probably. But, you know, you do got to look for we need to, like, blow one open. You got to hope that you blow one open. You're up by 4 runs so that there's a little less pressure on the team.
And I think they could do that in Arizona. They face Gallen on Tuesday. He's their ace. That's going to be tough. But, I mean, maybe Monday or Wednesday. I think that's definitely in play. For me, I just was happy that Rodon didn't quit. Because, like, if that game was last year, it felt like he just had quit if starts weren't going his way. And I know we always make the joke about battling, but, like, he actually did battle and yeah, gave him something.
And, like, if it wasn't that he missed half a season and had his wife tweeting to defend him last year, I would be pissed at that start. But we won, because also last year we don't win that game.
No, zero chance. And Sunday, the Sunday game, I tweeted at the 2023 Yankees lose that game 100 times out of 100. Like,
yeah,
whoever is in left field is not making that diving catch that Verdugo made. That's a walk-off.
Yeah, I was just like, I can't believe there were times I was like, I can't believe I still have this game on. Like, I can't believe I get to, I believe again. They're giving me dreams and hopes. And it just, I felt like a child again.
Stroman looked fucking great. Six innings. There were three runs, but none of them were earned. One of them was on his error, granted, but no earned runs. Six innings. He's stomping off the mound and clapping. I love that he just works quickly. He throws strikes. He keeps the ball down. Like, it's a nice watch with him.
Yeah. We always love a pitcher who keeps the game moving. I mean, with the pitch clocks and stuff last year coming in, we saw a lot of improvement, which was great. So, you know, to see him go out there, he's fiery. He gave, what did he give us? 5 2/3?
Six.
Oh, he gave us six. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Clark gave us five.
Yeah. Clark. Did, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. So, you know, to go out there, give us six inning in his first start, in hostile territory, like that's, it's ace-like stuff in that situation. Because like if Cole went out and had that same line, we'd be like, fuck yeah, that's why Cole is Cole.
Oh no, for sure. And he clearly loves being here. He embraced the moment. It was a Saturday night primetime Fox game. You could tell he was really pumped. It was awesome. The whole and then Clark on Sunday, that's the game where you're like, you know, they didn't do the punt lineup. You're like, all right. You were kind of mentally bracing that this was going to be the letdown day with him and it being the, I mean, just the idea of sweeping a four game series in Houston is a foreign concept. And he looked incredible too.
Yeah. I mean, so many surprises that like, there were so many times you're going to be like, all right, well, it's Clark, you know, this is going to happen. Like it's time. And that's just like, it just didn't happen. I was stunned. My wife was surprised I was still watching. And then, like, even when you get the substitution of, like, oh, all right, well, now Volpe's got, you know, he's got a tummy ache, so now we're going to make the switch. Cabrera's playing shortstop. Will he fuck it up? Oh, you know, we've made tweets about Birdie. Now, now he's in there. Is he going to fuck it up? He sees a lot of pitches. He never swings and misses. He's in the top 12 percentile of like not swinging and missing, swinging and missing strike three. Like that was exactly like what happened on the broadcast. And he goes out and he saves the game in the ninth inning.
What a play that was. And then that hasn't gotten enough love because of everything else that transpired afterward. But that was a hell of a play. I thought he was going to get a double play. And then I remembered Altuve was running, but look, that's a guy that when he landed, what, late Thursday night or late Wednesday night at 2 a.m, his number gets called and he saves the game. Like that's what you need.
Yeah. That's like, I mean, just stepping up and you gotta think it's weird. Like I know obviously playing for the Marlins probably sucks. It probably has its perks being in Miami, but, he did like go out there. He's going from playing like 113 games last year to like he is the backup, maybe the backup. There's talk of, you know, I'm sure he's on the internet. There's talk of him starting opening day. Like if the plane can get to Houston, does he get to start until a scratch fourth game of the season, goes out there, handles his business. And Wells is fun. There's so many fun guys right now. I can't wait to hate a lot of them. I will hate a lot of them soon.
It's so much different because, again, like not only did they suck last year, but they had a lot of unlikable guys. Hicks, extremely unlikable. Donaldson, extremely unlikable. And even Bader, like I liked him in the beginning, but then he just kind of turned into this like, I don't know, kind of a condescending, smiley, annoying guy by the end. They don't do this with the analytics. The chemistry shit matters. Personality matters and having fight matters. They're completely different, completely different.
Yeah, it's early. It's so like I try to remember like it's early, but it's a fun early. I'm having a good time with it being this fun, this early. Just get out of Houston. We won the tiebreaker.
Dude, that's what I'm saying, man. How huge is that?
Like, never saw that coming.
Have we ever done that? Like ever?
No.
It's huge. And then obviously like the thing that sucks, it does suck though, going on the West Coast for the second series. And I know it's good because if they were in New York this week, there'd be multiple rainouts. I'm sure like it's raining all up and down the East Coast today, tomorrow, Wednesday, but it is kind of sucky. Like, I got to wait till 9:50 tonight or whenever that game starts.
Yeah. Like I, to a certain extent, I'm like, all right, let's get them out of the way. I mean, I had said, like, let's get Houston out of the way because it won't kill momentum if, you know, we're not going to go there in August and get swept.
Right.
Now we've built some momentum. And, you know, the Diamondbacks were in the World Series a couple of months ago. Like, it's really easy to forget that. So it's not even like, you know, these aren't my high school Diamondbacks. Well, they had Randy Johnson. So, like, we're not, you know, we're not going out there and, like, hey, this isn't an easy series. But, like, if we go out there and you get 2 of 3 or you get 3 of 3, you know, you're in it. You're having a good time. And you've taken all of that, like, a swing of going to Houston is a nightmare in general. And then just having to go to Arizona, regardless if they're good or bad, you don't want to go to Arizona.
Yes, yes.
It's just not fun. That's out of the way. You get to come home. You get your roll call. You get to have a couple series at home. It's a good way to start the season. And, you know, I'm not saying that, like, you know, the rest of the division's cooked, but we're 4-0. The Orioles have struggled. It's good to see them struggle out of the gate. The one thing, though, is I did read, I forget who said it. It may have been Rizzo or may have been Schmidt. But someone was like, yeah, you know, it felt in these games like we did in 2022.
Was that Clark, I think? Yeah.
Yeah. It felt like we did in 2022 where, like, we just knew we could win every game. Obviously, we know what happened there. So, like, we have to stick with it. And I was just like, I forgot about 2022 for a little bit. So I didn't need that memory, but at least, like, they're aware of it.
Oh, for sure. And you mentioned kind of the Orioles and they went, I think, 2-1 against the Angels. But the thing is the Orioles, I think, have the easiest April schedule in the league. And we have one of the harder ones. So even if we come out of April tied with them, that's a huge win because our schedule the rest of the way is going to be a lot easier. And we haven't had Cole. Like, that's, man, that's the other great, like, the fact that they won 4 games in Houston and Cole didn't start any of them is fucking insane. I still can't get over that.
It's crazy. And you see the thing about Aaron Hicks is, like, picking fights with Mike Trout.
That was hysterical. That was,
I don't even know if that's real or not,
but, like, not hustling, crazy. Which is the most ironic. I mean, the joke writes itself.
Yes. I mean, it's a fun position to be in right now. Obviously, winning's better than losing. I'm curious to see, like, if we were 2-2, we both said we'd be happy, right?
Yes. Yep.
2-2 going into a heel start, you don't feel great about that. Now it's like, oh, there's a lot of opportunity to, like, see what this guy's got.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And nothing to lose with heel Monday night. He'll get a start against Toronto too. I think winning 2 in Arizona. Remember, they went to the World Series, but they also, I think they won like 83 games. They're like the worst team to ever make the playoffs. So, like, we don't know which. Are we going to get the World Series Diamondbacks or are we going to get the 83 win Diamondbacks? The other thing is, nice break for us. They signed Montgomery. He's not ready to go yet. We won't have to face him. So could be worse. I guess this is a good time to go there.
Yeah, I mean, it's early in the season. I forgot about it until I was thinking it over the weekend in terms of, like, what are the things that we're going to talk about on the podcast? That, like, we do miss Montgomery, even though, like, this is a guy who we traded away.
Like, yeah, it's nice to miss him. And then Wednesday's is nice because it's like a 4 o'clock Eastern game, so they won't get home super late. And then Thursday's an off day. They're going to be ready to fucking roll on Friday at 1 o'clock in the Bronx. That home opener is going to be a party.
What's that weather looking like?
I think it's a nice 47 and cloudy, but dry.
You texted me asking me about the cigar policy at Billy's.
Yes. Yes.
What exactly are you doing pregame cigars, like, with your dad at like 11 a.m.?
Depending on when we get there, that would be in play, but more just that text was more curious for just the season. Because I have it pickles in Baltimore, but I was just more curious because I've seen people. I thought I'd seen people smoking cigs out there, but I don't smoke cigs, so I wasn't sure.
Yeah, you could definitely smoke cigs out there.
Okay.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. Oh, you're up to 51 on Friday, partly cloudy.
Oh, nice.
Not too bad.
All you can ask for is dry for the home.
We've gone from 62 on Saturday and Sunday for WrestleMania, down to 52 Saturday is the high, and this is a night event. I'm thinking about buying on Amazon one of those jackets that's got like heaters in it.
How much are those? Like 200?
No, you can find them for like $30. I'm so, really? You know, you could probably use it like four times and it dies.
Oh, but, right, like, and then get rid of it. Yeah,
yeah, like
I thought that. Wasn't most of those events indoor that you're going to, or there's outdoor too?
The main things, like Thursday nights inside, Friday nights inside, Saturday during the day's inside. Saturday night, Sunday night are outside at the link. Monday is inside.
And is it like so? Like there's going to be 60,000 people there. Like every seat is going to be full. Kind
every
of thing?
Seat in the stadium, and then the field has like seats on it. You got to remember, this is the rings at like the 50-yard line.
Right. Right.
And then they do lose some, like, on one end, like, because they build a huge stage they've been building for a week now.
Damn. You should maybe try to hit one of these Marlins games. You could probably get in for, like, $15 after your
wait, are wrestling Philly, event. Are the Phillies at home this week?
No, I'm saying, like, if you want to see the Yanks, you could go, like, after the weekend, you could jet up for a quick. Oh, like I mean, those would be easy to get tickets. You could probably get comps.
Yeah, I got to see it. Maybe, like, some work travel or something.
We got two series against the Jays and one against the Rays this month.
Which is, to a certain extent, I like to go out and I like to play division rivals early in the season. Like sometimes there have been times where it's like, oh, it's late July before we play the Red Sox. I like to get some games early in the season. So like we see what we have and we can make adjustments.
Oh, absolutely. And they got, so the Blue Jays is the home, and then they go to Toronto really quick. So those are half your Blue Jay games are pretty much done in April. And then they finish the month with four in Baltimore, which is going to be a huge, huge series. Other than the Athletics, this is a tough month, man.
I mean, weekday Baltimore games stink.
It's a waste. It feels like a waste, doesn't it?
Yeah, I have offered up. Damn. I've offered up to a client in Toronto to have a meeting on the morning of the 19th.
You go for the 7th. Yeah,
no, it's tough. Yeah. It's tough to get like 2 days.
Yeah.
To be like, work, you got to pay for these. Oh, also, I'm leaving early on Wednesday. Like, I'm going to fly all day Wednesday. Right. I misplayed that one.
The last Oriole game is like a Thursday at 1. I was like, oh, that could maybe be a play of fun. Little play hooky, but yeah, it's just tough. Weekday in Baltimore is a waste. It just is.
Weekday in Baltimore is tough when you've got kids, when you've got like a real job, and like you don't burn that on like May 2nd. That's right. A July Thursday that you try.
No, you're exactly right. And like a 6:35 start, like the Friday night games, it's much easier to swing bouncing early and staying on Slack and bullshitting that. But like during the week, that's on a non-Friday, that's tough.
You got to get past Memorial Day. That's the thing. You got to get to like where some people have, because we're client facing people. Mm-hmm. You got to get to like other people have summer Friday. So you're getting less questions.
Oh, for sure.
And you just throw your computer in your backpack, in your car, in case like the world's on fire. And
right.
Like, yeah, I'm at an Exxon using their Wi-Fi.
Want to talk about this infield situation a little bit. So shockingly, DJ LeMahieu went for a second round of tests that revealed a non-displaced fracture. That was actually what I had. Shocking they didn't get it the first time.
Who? I thought we changed medical staffs like 2 years ago, and now we've got Ray Charles reviewing the fucking MRIs.
The funniest part is that they were like, yeah, like we wanted to do a second round of tests in case we missed it. Like they knew they were so bad at it that like they knew they were going to miss something. It's very bizarre.
Yeah, it's as if like, okay, you guys are like he's walking around and it's like, yes, this is very clear that you're fucked. Like we messed this up.
Honestly, man, like with how Oswaldo's playing, with the addition of Birdie and with what DJ's been the last 2 years in his age, he's quickly, it's like, you know, when, what is it, Toy Story, where he throws Andy away and says, I don't want to play with you. I mean, like, I love DJ. I wanted to re-sign him. But at this point, it's like, do we really need him?
Yeah, I mean, it's not because, like, someone will be injured. But there is a bit of, like, you know, are we ready to move on? You know, like, but I don't know that I'm ready to move on for like for Oswaldo.
No, I get that. But I think the combination of Oswaldo and Birdie makes it different. And I love DJ. The problem is like, man, you foul a ball off your foot and you're out 2 months. Like, you're just not going to make it through a season. Like, I think his feet are just done.
Yeah, like, that's the thing. Like, our best bet may be, like, we just get insurance money on him.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
And now the other question. So like, I definitely want to own this because people don't do this enough. I was dead wrong about Oswaldo Cabrera, 7-for-16 with 2 game tying homers and 6 RBIs in the 4 games. Obviously that's not going to be who he is, but maybe he can be that like 250, 260 guy that can play 6 different positions. Like, that's kind of what DJ used to be.
You hope so. You wonder if like, he was good when he first came up because we had so many injuries and there was a, there was playing time for him. And then once like the regular playing time was gone, it's like, oh, well, this is who he is. So it does make you wonder, like, can he keep it up if he has the regular playing time? Will he be exposed? I'm fine with a rotation over there, a platoon of him and Birdie. Like, that wouldn't be the end of the world.
That would be fun. And apparently I haven't really seen it yet, but Birdie is apparently can fly. He's like above 95% in sprint speed.
It's weird. He had like, if you look at his stats, like he led the league 2 years ago in stolen bases, but it was like a Brady Anderson season.
He's like an older white guy. You just wouldn't expect him to be like flying around. Like, he's like 35. Like, he doesn't look that fast. Like,
he's 34 years old. Yeah. Another one when obviously like I've seen now because it's if Trent Grisham, he didn't look like that in mind.
No, yeah, he played what Saturday night? I'd like to see him get more burn. We talked about this, get Judge off his feet a little bit more. We don't want Judge in center field every day. I would like to see Grisham play 2 to 3 times a week.
So here's Birdie, right? Birdie last year played 133 games.
Okay.
Stole 16 bases. The year before, he had 102 games, stole 41 bases. The year before that, 85, stole 8 bases. Like, it's not even the most games he played, and it's just like more than double. It's a very weird, like, it's a very weird stat line. But like, yeah, get out there and fly.
Yeah, and like you said, I think it'll be a good combination. He hits righty. Oswaldo is a switch, but Oswaldo is pretty much. He was hitting lefty on lefty. He hit lefty against Hader. I think he's kind of done being a switch hitter.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you have to do that. Who's the guy, Mullins, in Baltimore? He came up as a switch hitter, started to get some success on one side, stuck to that one side.
And especially with the Yankees, who are always starving for lefties, it makes more sense. When you play your home games at Yankee Stadium, if you're going to pick a side, you pick that side.
Yeah, if you're going to focus on one, that you could be mediocre at 2 things or maybe good at 1.
Take it. Yo, Anthony Volpe looks like a completely different person, player. He was laying off all of those garbage pitches that he was like Luke Voiding at last year. He looked like he aged or matured 10 years over the offseason.
Yeah, I mean, you got to wonder if just like getting that first year out of the way, having an offseason where like he knows he's coming in as a starting shortstop for the Yankees, last year he wasn't even supposed to be on the roster. So you get to get some comfort. It's not your first time in front of, you know, these big crowds. You know, you do an off season of fucking signings at the mall next to the Meadowlands. And, you know, and you're just used to, like, you're used to being that guy. And then also you're playing a shit ton of games last year to now you have game tape to adjust to and like spend an off season focusing on. And it's not just like, oh, well, I'm going to figure out how to get better over chicken parm at my mom's house with, Wells.
Last year, it just kind of felt like, not, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but he was just happy to be there. Like, he was so excited to be there, like a kid in a candy store. I'm not saying he didn't work hard, but it was more excitement. And now it's more like, okay,
it's a lot. Long. It's so much to do. Like, when he came up, he was 21 years old. You're the 21-year-old shortstop for the New York Yankees who grew up, you know, a stone's throw away. That's a lot to take in. You know, and he went out, won a gold glove, and you're also in like a dog shit lineup. Like, you're doing that with your protection is Jake Bowers.
It's a great point. He probably went in thinking, oh, I'll blend in behind Judge and Stanton and Rizzo and Glaber and just kind of do my thing. You got Judge with the toe. Stanton's invisible all year. Rizzo's concussed. Zero protection. Everything went wrong last year. Just everything.
Yeah, and now he's played 3 games. He's batting 400. He's still got a tummy ache. Apparently, he's out in the outfield running as we record this at 6 o'clock on Monday night. So we'll see, you know, what his availability is. You obviously want him out there. He played 159 games last year. You want him to still be out there, but at the same time, we went from being like, "Fuck, DJ's hurt. Who's going to be there?" to like, now we're 4-0. If he needs an extra day for his stomach, like, take the extra day.
Oh yeah, apparently it's been going around everybody. So this
so thing they probably got in Mexico. Kids in daycare.
Well, no, they said they got it in Mexico.
Oh, someone drank the water.
Flush it out by the home opener, and we're good. Yeah. Flush it out by Friday at 1.
Yeah, just hook him up to an IV nonstop.
Kind of buried this got buried a little bit, but on Thursday night, John Heyman tweeted out that Gerrit Cole feels great and is targeting a June 1st return and may start throwing during the first homestand. Very exciting.
Yeah, they also said on the broadcast that, like, no, we're not putting a date on it, like a firm date, so that, like, we're rushing to hit something. If that's what it is, here's my concern. If they said, hey, we're not going to throw for a month, and he's just like, oh, well, in 3 weeks, I'm going to throw. Maybe, like, let's follow the doctor's orders, because coming back too early, trying to come back too early is the same thing as not getting in the MRI machine. They say you need an MRI, you don't do it. You come back, you set yourself back. You know, like I'm 4 weeks out of surgery now, and I agreed with my doctor to not do ab work until today. I started Friday and Saturday. Very sore today. My wife's going to hear this tomorrow and be like, I fucking told you. I haven't told her yet. So
I haven't cut that out. But remember, the Yankees aren't saying anything. This goes from Boris to Heyman. Like, this is what Boris and Cole are targeting.
Scott Boris still alive? I thought they like run him out of town. I thought the Players Association was going to run him out of town like the townspeople from Beauty and the Beast.
Dude, nobody must have wanted Montgomery. 1 year, $25 million. He was originally asking for $170 million.
I did see a rumor that like the Yankees offered like he made a decision to not come back to the Yankees.
Yeah, fuck you, Jordan Montgomery. We offered $80 million, I think, over 4 years. Now, some of it was deferred, so I think that the total value was 50-55. You know, go play in Arizona on your 1 year slapdick deal. I never liked the fucking guy ever. Did I want to help the team this year? Sure. But now that he rejected us, I just dislike him even more than I did when he was a Yankee.
I mean, I know there's more that goes into it. I know that you build relationships with these guys, especially a lot of the Latin players who are coming from, you know, they're far from home. But I wonder if Soto is like, what the fuck? You know, or if you're another agent, if you're trying to get in Soto's ear to be like, listen, this guy may fuck you here.
Yeah, point to his age. You know, if there's Scott Boris is 72 years old. If there's some agent that's 40 or 50, hey, yeah, you know, he's washed up. He doesn't understand these new front offices, whatever.
it's not too dissimilar to what I say often about Brian Cashman. Like, yes, your peers have all moved on. It's a different crop of people you have to deal with now. And like, they have no allegiance. There's no aura to you, especially when you're coming in with like, well, I've got Blake Snell and Jordan Montgomery. Like, it's easy to pass on that. Soto, I mean, I could get Soto $600 million.
Yeah. It'll be interesting next year because he's got Soto. He's got Pete Alonso. He's definitely got some more like prime cut, A-grade free agents as opposed to these B guys he had this year. But that will be interesting. I'm not worried about the whole Soto thing. I just if things keep going like they're going, I just don't see any way. Like, Hal wouldn't be able to show his face anywhere if he didn't re-sign him. I'm really not concerned about it, re-signing him.
Yeah, I feel pretty confident that they're going to – it's going to cost. But yeah, I just think like the blowback of letting him walk away would be too much. I do think, though, if we re-sign Soto, it like everyone has to understand at that point we've got Soto, Stanton, Judge, Cole.
Oh, they're done.
Like,
yeah, they're done. They're done.
Like, there is whoever's the next big free agent, like, we're not getting. We're not in on Pete Alonso. We're not, no. You know, whoever comes up in 2 years, we're not in on them. Until we clear some of this other shit off our payroll, like, we're still paying Hicks for, like, 3 years.
Yeah, they do. You know, we're paying Donaldson $6 million this year?
Yeah, it was to not pick up his option.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a lot of dead money, and you got to think there's more dead money coming. I don't think DJ makes it through 3 more years. I don't think Stanton makes it through. And Hal has shown that like $30 million is the amount that he's willing to eat. Hicks had $30 million left. Donaldson had about $30 million left. So I think once guys get close to that number, that's when he'll take on the dead money.
Yeah, and then you just like kind of move on for it. But it goes back to, you know, you've got to bring guys along, and so. Like, I think we got a good deal on Stroman.
Yeah.
The Rodon contract, I don't think it's going to be great, but, like, who knows? We'll see. We don't develop pitching. Like, Jordan Montgomery's as close as we've got. Like, we've got, since Andy Pettit, we've had Phil Hughes make 100 starts as, like, a homegrown guy.
And Montgomery, you said, got to, like, 98 or something?
Yeah, like 98. Yeah. So, but still, not 100.
Nope.
And so you got to think, like, who can we bring along? You hope maybe like heel works out. I don't believe we don't have really any stud pitchers in the minor leagues. We do have, you know, we've got Spencer Jones. We've got Jason Dominguez. He's still coming back,
dude, like, in July. Okay. When it's Dominguez, Judge, and Soto in the outfield, like, oh my God, dude.
When do you think they get Judge his first baseman submit?
I think next year.
Like, do we just go like, hey, Rizzo's gone?
Yeah.
And like, Judge, this is what we need you to do for the offseason. Cause like, you can't even have an ego about it. Like, cause Bryce Harper did it.
I think, yeah, no, it's a great point on Harper. I think it'll start as just like a here and there thing. And then I think eventually, cause you got to think, like you already said, Spencer Jones is coming, Dominguez, Soto. Like, the outfield is kind of going to be full. And especially with, if this toe, as Judge says, is the lifelong maintenance thing, first base is a hell of a lot less taxing than the outfield.
And he's an athletic guy. Like, he can be an athletic huge target for a number of years.
Yeah, I think it makes too much sense eventually. But it also makes sense when you think about backing the truck up for Soto. All right, you let Verdugo walk. You have all these outfielders. Clay Holmes, you let him walk. Glaber, you let him walk. Like, they have other money coming off the books that I think they will easily let walk to pay Soto.
Yeah, I think, yeah, Holmes walks, Glaber walks. Then you've got to hope that, like, you know, you could slide Peraza into play second base. Yeah, Verdugo is going to be a fun 1 year thing.
Yes, exactly.
I don't even know, like, what does he make this year?
I would guess like 10.
Let's see. I'm looking it up.
Say 9 or 10.
27 years old. He is making. Oh, he's still under control.
Yeah, yeah. This is his last arbitration.
Last year he was making $6.3 million.
So he's probably making 9.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's going to be fun for a year.
Yeah. He shaved his beard for.
And especially with left field at Yankee Stadium being so spacious, like it's crazy. I think it was Chris Kirshner that wrote the article in The Athletic just talking about how silly it was that we basically went 3 years without having a real left fielder. Like, with the fucking Yankees. Like, what?
It's crazy. I mean, we went years without a shortstop.
Yeah.
We're playing Glaber there. We're playing guys out of position. We're really just trying to hack it together. And yeah, to be now, do I feel amazing seeing Verdugo diving all the time? Like, he made that last catch. It was like, oh, finally he got the fucking catch he's been hunting. It's similar to when we got Rizzo at first base, where it's like, oh, I'm not having a heart attack every time a ball's thrown the first base. I'm not having a heart attack every time a ball's hit in the outfield to be like, I don't know, where's that tailing? Because even in the ninth inning of the Sunday game, I forget who it was that was up, but there was that fly ball that landed like 2 inches in foul territory.
I think it was Alvarez that hit that. Yeah.
Yeah. And Verdugo right away, hands up, like, knows what he's doing. You never know if like IKF fucking touches that in fair territory.
Hicks touches it and then forgets about
Hicks
it.
Hicks is nowhere near there. Hicks throws his glove at it in the air.
Man, it was, I think the third biggest regular season series I've ever seen after 06 and 09 with Boston. The other little programming note, obviously we're recording this before the game on Monday night. If you look at the schedule, if you look at the calendar, most of their off days are on Mondays. So after like mid-April, we should be in a spot where on Monday you're getting this and there wasn't a game that we missed. So just got to hang with us. We're not getting on here at 1 a.m. Monday night to record. I hope everybody understands.
Yeah. And I guess also programming, you're going to do the show with someone else next week.
Yeah. Yeah. So you'll be doing your thing. I'll be looking for a new temporary co-host for a week.
Yeah, if I'm being honest with everyone, between the late starts and WrestleMania weekend, I'm not watching much baseball this week.
Friday you'll see them.
I will catch, because what's the Wednesday game? It's like a 3:30 game.
This Wednesday?
Something, yeah, don't they play?
3:40, like, yeah. 3:40. Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
Like I will catch that game. I will catch most, if not all, of the home opener, but I will catch at least most of it. And then, yeah, beyond that, I don't know what time they play Sunday. If it's during the day, like, I may throw it on, but I'm going to be getting to be pretty shot by that point in the week.
Yeah. And Monday, like a week from Monday, let's see, what is that? The 8th, they have a date. They have a 2:00 game on a Monday, which is weird. I think it's because of the eclipse.
Oh, what are they trying to like highlight the eclipse? Everyone can. Yeah,
it's Yankees solar eclipse t-shirt day.
Oh.
The 8th against the Marlins.
My boss lives in Cleveland. Schools are closed because of the eclipse.
Just if people go out and look at it?
Because it's going right over, like,
Cleveland. It's, like, dangerous.
Yeah, so, no, it's a matter of, like, there's going to be a lot of tourists in town. They're telling people, like, the local governments are, like, don't go anywhere. It's going to be gridlock. Someone, like, offered to rent their house. Yeah, so, Jesus. Yeah. When I originally like first heard about it, I was like, you know what? Maybe we'll like take the Monday off and like drive to Pittsburgh so the girls see it. But then I was like, they're going to be 4-2. Who gives a shit?
Yeah, this isn't the Yankees or the Sopranos, so I have zero interest in it, as you could probably imagine.
I rewatched the Sopranos in December.
It's a great winter rewatch.
It's very funny to like go back and watch just like the evolution from payphones to flip phones and like how much wouldn't work now with like smartphones. I rewatched that. I rewatched The Wire. That was like my December. And I just did Better Call Saul while I was recovering from surgery.
I've never seen that, but The Wire, I know there. I've seen The Wire, and a lot of that stuff was going around when the bridge collapsed, like memes from The Wire, the season 2 on the docks.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's immediately what everyone who's ever watched The Wire thought of when they saw that.
Yeah.
They're like,
yeah.
Oh, shit. Yeah, well, I think that's what we got. We're 4-0. No more Shamrock Shakes. The Rock is back. If for some reason you're listening to this and you're going to WrestleMania, fucking tweet at me. JJ from the Bronx. Tweet at Nick and Kirby NYY. Tweet at the show at George's Box Pod. It's going to be it's fun to be happy now. We'll see you at the parade.